It started out with shots after shots after shots.
You were drunk.
Drinking buddies tied one on.
Tell me what you found outside.
The back windshield of my car completely shattered. Both mirrors on my car broken off. She was outside covered in blood.
But she's drawing a blank.
What you told the police was that you damaged the vehicle because you were mad.
I don't remember talking to the police at all.
I know you don't remember, but that's what you told them.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Christopher Cordray is suing his former friend, Jessica Craig, for damaging his car and his apartment while in a drunken stupor.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 106 on the calendar, Madam Cordray versus Craig.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Have a seat, please.
Mr. Cordray, you and the defendant are friends, and you've been friends for a long time.
We were friends.
And on this particular night, the two of you had been drinking in your house and hanging out.
That's correct.
And that night was?
The 18th of April.
Of 2014.
That's correct.
And when you finished your evening of hanging out and drinking, according to what I read, you went upstairs. You were in your house. You went upstairs.
That's correct.
And the defendant remained downstairs in what you actually describe as almost a drunken stupor. She fell asleep on the couch, and you went upstairs.
My apartment is an upstairs unit, so she was upstairs as well with me in my apartment.
Because you were both upstairs.
Yeah, that's correct.
In what room were you both upstairs?
We were in the living room together.
So you were in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the police arrived, and tell me what happened when the police arrived.
Well, at that point, I was already in bed. Jessica had...
I thought you were both in the living room.
We were before the incident happened. I went to bed. She was in the living room by herself. And then I'm not exactly sure what happened. The police...
About what time did you go to bed? Do you know?
I went to bed around midnight.
And you know that because?
Because I looked at the clock before I went to bed.
Okay.
So basically, I was woke up by the police. Forcing themselves into my house. Apparently, they had been knocking on the door. I'm a very heavy sleeper. I didn't hear any knocks.
You were
knocks.
A heavy sleeper and loaded.
Yeah, well, yes. In general, though, I'm a very heavy sleeper.
Mm-hmm. And?
Yeah. So apparently, the police were knocking on my door, and I didn't hear them. And at that point, finally, they woke me up, and I was heading toward the door, and they forced themselves into my apartment.
And
then after that, the police asked me if I knew what happened to my car. And I said, no. And they asked me if I had a friend with dark hair. And I said, yes, I do. And the police proceeded to tell me that my friend had...
You can't tell me what the police told you about your friend, about what anybody else witnessed.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Okay.
I mean, there was a reason that I allowed you to get to a point with the police entry into the building.
Sure.
Okay, so the police entered the building,
mm-hmm.
and you were directed towards your car.
That's correct.
You didn't know what happened to your car.
I had no idea, no.
Okay, but you went outside, and tell me what you found outside.
I found the back windshield of my car completely shattered, both mirrors on my car broken off, and the back taillight broken in, and also a fire extinguisher on the inside of my car, and blood.
And?
And from that point, I was very shocked, obviously, with the situation. That's my vehicle. And then after that, the police brought to my attention. I says, oh my gosh.
You can't tell me what.
So the reason the police forced
themselves. Don't tell me any reason.
Okay.
You tell me what you saw.
I saw blood on the side of my car. I saw blood up and down. Basically, there's a trail of blood from my car to my apartment.
To where in your apartment?
To the front door.
Any blood inside the apartment?
No.
Was it a lot of blood outside?
There was a good amount of blood.
But nothing inside?
No.
Go ahead.
So the police entered my apartment and told me they were doing a welfare check because...
No, I understand what happened.
Okay.
They evidently saw your car that was smashed outside. Mm-hmm. They observed blood.
They saw...
probably followed the trail of blood that led up to your apartment.
Right.
So they tried to get into your apartment. Mm-hmm. They couldn't. They forced their way into your apartment.
Right.
Where you were and the defendant was.
No, she was outside.
She was outside.
She was outside covered in blood.
Where was she outside?
At the bottom of my stairwell. I didn't actually, I heard the police talking to her and she was screaming at that point. She was very intoxicated.
And?
And they took her, she was covered in blood and she had cut herself on my car.
Well, you don't know that.
I do, there's blood inside my car.
Well, but you don't know, you don't have any blood comparisons to show that the blood inside your car was the defendant's.
That's correct.
Right, because she has her own story about what happened.
Sure, totally.
As loaded as she has her own story about what happened.
Sure.
So let me understand this. You see blood in your car, mm-hmm. and the defendant is sitting outside of mm-hmm. the apartment. You had left her inside the apartment. She was sitting outside the apartment. She had blood on her. Where was the blood on you?
My hands and my knees.
Hands and knees?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Hands and knees?
Yes.
And was there injury on your hands? Show me where on your hands.
Like the bottoms of my hands.
The palms?
Yeah.
And where on your knees?
Like the top parts of my knees from like falling, like kneecap, underneath the kneecap.
Okay. Is that where you saw her injuries?
Yes, that's correct.
On her palms and her knees?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who was this person?
This is my witness, Sam Sebastian.
Mr. Sebastian was a witness to the act of vandalism on your car?
He was there that evening.
My question is Mr. Sebastian a witness to the act of vandalism to your car?
He was not, no.
Okay. So the leap that you want me to take, mm-hmm. Mr. Cordray,
sure.
is you want me to think that your friend, while drunk, went out, smashed your car, and the evidence that you have that supports that is that there was blood on her hands, mm-hmm. in palms,
mm-hmm.
blood on her knees,
yeah.
and there was blood in the car.
That's
where
right.
was the blood in the car?
Well, I have pictures.
I'd like to take a look at the
sure.
picture.
I have pictures of the fire extinguisher that was used to damage my car. There's blood. Also, her purse and her laptop that was in my apartment that evening were strewn about around my car. Her laptop was on top of my car and her purse was outside.
Oh, well, that's an
of
interesting
my vehicle.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So the purse and the laptop were outside the car.
That's correct.
Got it.
Well, laptop was on top of the car, as you can see in the picture.
Do you have a police report?
I do.
I'd like to. Had your car been locked?
Yes.
How many other people were at this party?
He was there that evening. He left at about 11 o'clock, and my roommate was there as well. I don't know if I would necessarily call it a party. We were
just hanging around.
Yeah.
Four people hanging
sure.
around. Was your roommate in the house?
He was.
And when you went to bed, it was your roommate, the defendant, and yourself? Just
yes.
the three of you
yes.
in the house?
Yes.
Did your roommate come out that night when the police arrived?
No, he was asleep.
Must have been pretty loaded. How did you get home?
I drove.
You drove home?
He wasn't drinking that evening.
He's not drinking.
He left about a... Oh, sorry.
Okay, well, Miss Craig, you're going to tell me what you sort of remembered as you're standing here today, which was not what you remembered when you spoke to the police.
Right.
Which was closer to the event, you have to acknowledge, than 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Other than alcohol, what kind of drugs had you taken that night?
I didn't take drugs.
Anything?
Nothing.
Okay, ready for you, Miss Craig.
Okay, well, it started out with shots after shots after shots.
You were drunk.
Oh, I was super drunk.
I got the fact that
okay,
you were
but
drunk.
That's where I'm
the police
start off
describe
with.
You as incoherent,
okay.
with eyes and pupils dilated, okay. as if in addition to alcohol, you had been involved in some other sort of drug, which you now deny. So you were loaded, and?
And I always leave the house, like whenever they go to bed, I always leave. So I always walk home.
And?
And then as I was leaving, I heard people by his car, and then I heard glass breaking, and then I go up, and then I fall, because I'm going up to his place, and I'm drunk, so I can't even, like,
well,
walk.
What were you going up to his place for? I thought you were leaving.
Well, yeah, but I saw people by his car, so I'm going to let him know, and so I'm trying to get back up to his place.
What was your pocketbook and your computer doing on top of his car?
Because I was by his car, because I was looking at his car.
You said you heard people messing with his car.
Well, yeah, because then I saw it, because then I went and took a look, and it was broken.
Oh, so then the people ran away?
Yes.
Oh, you forgot to say that.
Yes.
I thought you were playing Spider-Man and ran over to them. So that the story that you told the police on that night while you were loaded, you know.
I don't remember.
In wine there is truth. Do you know, did you ever hear that expression?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell it to you. Maybe you'll remember it. When you drink, you usually say what's on your mind, but you don't have time to make things up like you are now. Let me refresh your recollection as to what you told the police.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
That makes no sense.
Well, of course it made no sense.
But
that's what you told the police.
I don't remember talking to the police at all.
I know you don't remember, but that's what you told them.
And later today.
This isn't going to be easy for you, Mr. Trimble, especially if you think you're going to get ahead of my game. You have youth on your side. I have wisdom, experience, and training on mine. But what I'm telling you is, you're not going to outsmart me.
Real real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Christopher Cordray says former friend Jessica Craig vandalized his car and apartment while in a drunken stupor. Jessica denies the charge.
Now, she was clearly under the influence of alcohol. Her arms were covered with blood, blood streaming from injured hands. She had blood all over her clothing and some on her face. She was clearly under the influence of alcohol. This is by the police officer, not by a stranger. I believe some other narcotic as well. Her pupils were extremely constricted, and based on her demeanor, we called for medical assistance to come to the scene. Police spoke to you while waiting for medical. She told me that she was mad because her friend, later identified as Cordray, was sleeping with a blank. The subject she was referring to was later identified as SB. She told me she was mad about the relationship, so she damaged SB's vehicle. I asked her what relationship was with SB Cordray, and she said that they were good friends with Cordray, but hates.
That makes
incoherent.
No sense.
What?
That makes no sense.
Well, of course it made no sense, but what you told the police was that you damaged the vehicle because you were mad. But that's what you told the police.
But I don't remember talking to the police at all.
I know you don't remember, but that's what you told them. They're not in the business of making up false information on a police report. Why would they do that? You don't know the police, do you?
No.
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 How much does it cost to fix your car?
I have an estimate right
Let
here.
Let me have it, please.
It's for $1,151.44.
Have you had the car fixed?
No.
Why not?
I only have liability insurance on the car, and I haven't had money to fix it.
Great. Judgment for the plaintiff in that amount. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
People drink too much, and, you know, they get a little crazy.
I mean, I'm shocked because I don't remember doing it, so I don't see why. I don't know.
I don't know what she was thinking.
But I don't know, things happen, so.
We, you know, have drank together quite a few times, and there's never been a problem.
Not at all. Like, I was surprised he had, even had a police report, because I don't remember that at all.
You know, we'll definitely have to think about things, drinking with her again, because.
I mean, maybe we can, like, rekindle things, maybe.
I don't want anything like this to happen again. I like the windows in my car.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Trimble versus Joseph. Step forward.
Richie Trimble is suing his former friend, 24-year-old Graham Joseph, for damaging his dirt bike as a result of a bonfire he started.
How old are you, Mr. Trimble?
Excuse me?
How old are you?
I'm 29.
And what do you do to occupy your time?
I'm a cinematographer, and I build custom bicycles and motorcycles.
And what kind of an apartment complex do you live in?
I live in an apartment, but I rent a space, which is where this incident happened at.
How far from where you live do you rent a space?
It's about 2 miles.
Well, tell me about this rented space.
I rent a garage so I can work on my bicycles and motorcycles, and it's kind of a...
Okay. So yeah. You rent a garage from
yes.
home?
Yes, garage space from the property, which is owned by, I'm not sure, it's
Who
kind of a
sub-rent. Who do you rent the garage space from?
I sub-rent from whoever is on the lease, technically. So
Who?
It's a cash deal. I hand it over to whoever's in charge of the money, but I don't know who specifically.
Mr. Trimble?
Yes, sir.
This isn't going to be easy for you, Mr. Trimble. Especially if you think you're going to get ahead of my game. Do you understand?
I do.
You have youth on your side. I have wisdom, experience, and training on mine. I don't know if I would trade with you. At this point, I might think about it. But what I'm telling you is, you're not going to outsmart me.
Understood. I'm not trying
Great.
To.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You're not on any prescribed medication,
no,
are
ma'am.
You?
No, ma'am.
Are you on any unprescribed medication?
No, ma'am.
You mean that's the way you generally look? And these are your ordinary responses.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Richie Trimble says former friend Graham Joseph is responsible for damaging his dirt bike as the result of a bonfire he started.
You pay rent. How much rent do you pay for this garage?
I pay $400 and I pay in cash.
Pay $400 a what?
A month.
And in whose hands do you put the cash?
I put the cash into Scott's hands.
And Scott rents?
I believe, yeah.
What do you mean you believe?
He's the one who collects all the money from all the spaces that are sub-rented at this property. So I don't know
So you mean it's a large garage space?
No, it's a large complex with many indoor spaces and one large outdoor garage, which is segmented into spaces.
So he rents to a lot of people?
Yes.
And what nexus, Mr. Joseph, do you have to this property? Do you know what that means?
I also rent space.
And what do you do in that space?
Work in the shop, metal, wood.
Is it a hobby or your craft?
Yes, both.
Now, Mr. Trimble, on the date of this incident, you were drinking?
No.
Sober?
Yes.
You started a fire?
No, he did.
He started a fire?
Yes.
He started a fire where?
He started a fire in the west courtyard in a burn barrel.
Mr. Joseph, you were working with metal.
Yes, ma'am.
What did the fire that you started in the west courtyard, which is, I assume, not part of your rental space?
It is.
Not part?
It is part.
So you pay for that west courtyard space where you started the
essentially
fire?
Essentially all of it.
What does that mean, essentially all of it?
The courtyard is connected to everything.
It may be connected to everything, but is it common space?
Yes.
Well, then you don't rent it. That's a common space. You rent a booth so that you have to either get there or walk through this common space. So you started a fire in the common space.
Yes, ma'am.
For what?
Start a fire.
What does that mean?
It was nighttime.
What?
It was night. I wanted to start a fire.
Were you drinking?
Yes, ma'am.
So you mean I had the wrong drunk?
No.
Well, I thought he was drinking, but I had the wrong drunk. You were the one. He wasn't. Just you.
He told you, yeah.
Just you. And what were you doing with this fire that you started?
Hanging out.
With whom?
By myself.
And on what date did you start this fire and hang out?
I believe May 3rd.
Is it May 3rd?
It was May 3rd.
Had you been, Mr. Trimble, at your space, at your garage space?
I was at the space on May 3rd, but then I left, so I wasn't there when the fire had started.
Now, one of your bicycles was damaged by the fire.
A dirt bike.
A dirt bike?
A motorized dirt bike, yes.
Where had it been parked?
It had been parked right in front of my garage, alongside of another dirt bike with a motorcycle cover over both of them.
Now, did you see the fire that developed from the one that you set destroy or damage Mr. Trimble's bike?
No, ma'am.
On May the 4th, did Mr. Trimble contact you?
Yes.
And what did he say when he contacted you?
What happened?
And what did you say?
I said, I don't know.
Well, must have said, I don't know. What do you mean, what happened?
He must
have said to you.
I came out that morning and I saw the bike was all burned down. And I was like, well, I don't know. I didn't do that.
Had anybody else started a fire that day?
No.
Now, Mr. Joseph, tell me again what you do for a living.
I'm a bicycle mechanic.
Are you self-employed?
Yes.
And is the sole place that you work out of this rental space?
Yes. No. Well, partly. In and out.
Listen, I'm going to find out everything that I have a curiosity about.
Yeah.
Right? You're not on any prescribed medication,
no,
are
ma'am.
You?
No, ma'am.
Are you on any unprescribed medication?
No, ma'am.
You mean that's the way you generally look?
Yes, ma'am.
And these are your ordinary responses?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, whose bicycles do you work on at your rental space?
The public's. That's right. And if you got a bike, I'll work on yours.
I wouldn't let a drunk who sets fires work on anything that I own, sir.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You have a picture of the bike, sir?
I do. I have before and after photos here.
I'd like to take a look at it. Is it fixable?
I believe it is, although I haven't gotten to try and start it because the fuel lines were burned off of it, so it's just sitting there.
Who did you buy it from?
I bought it from a Craigslist sale out in Ontario in February.
Do you remember what you paid for it?
Yes, $1,100.
Is anything else damaged as a result of this idiot's fire?
The motorcycle cover was
anybody
also
else's
burned off?
Property damaged other than yours?
No.
So other than the fact that Mr. Joseph's defense is that you shouldn't have parked your bicycle there while he was looking and glowing at the sky.
That's right.
There is not much of a defense, right?
Correct.
I don't think you should have to try to fix it, sir. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,100. That's all.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
He did it. He lit it on fire. It's his fault.
I didn't put that bike there.
And he told Judge Judy that he said he didn't do it.
That's not my problem.
But he was extremely apologetic.
What does it matter with me?
And said, I will pay for everything. I will replace it.
It ruined a lot of relationships I have.
And then that slowly disintegrated over time.
Especially with him.
And then he wouldn't respond to me anymore.
Don't trust anyone.
He's got to learn how to grow up.